The Old Testament for this 18th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning at verse 6. For you are my people, holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all people who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord sent his love to you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping his oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, is faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is taken from Romans. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will we not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? If it is God who justifies, who is condemned? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or disease or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, you are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. This past week, I was listening to the radio. I mentioned this in the adult Bible study class. It happened to be 95.9, and they had a commercial for Bedtime Stories with Jesus, where this guy with a really sickening sweet voice would read to you stories of Jesus as you fell off to sleep. Now, that set me right off. You know what? It is an awesome thing to sit and read the Word of God before bedtime. Certainly a admirable thing to do. But Jesus is more than just a bedtime story to lull you to sleep. Because I was working through today's text and I wanted to focus on the first two parables that Jesus tells. And there's a hook in each one of these parables that doesn't come across as this sweet, soft little voice that will lull you to sleep late at night.
Ew.
So I'll probably never be asked to be on the radio station to make any kind of announcement after I just criticize them like that. But I want to focus on the first two parables and look at what Jesus is getting at in these two. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." These first two parables build upon each other. And they're only spoken, these four parables listed in our gospel lesson, are only spoken to Jesus' disciples. Because back in Matthew 13, verse 36, we read, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.'" And that's what I talked about last week, was the weeds in the field. But then Jesus gives them four more parables, now just to the disciples themselves. You know, today when we want to store a great treasure, you have some jewelry that's worth an awful lot. You usually would put in a safety deposit box. I would assume you wouldn't leave it out on your coffee table. You know, safety deposit box would be the place to go. Well, back then they didn't have safety deposit boxes in banks. So what you would do is you would take a clay jar, you would put your coins or valuables in it, and would bury them in the ground. A lot of times this was done before an invasion, because if you had to flee, you may not be able to take your treasure with you. And the idea is you would come back and find it later. Well, many times people didn't come back later. That's where if you read the news sometimes, you see some archaeological dig found a jar of coins, a clay jar of coins from the ancient world, and it's filled with a variety of coins. This was somebody's treasure. And people at that time would tell stories of finding a great treasure in a field. Like today we talk about winning the lottery. What would you do if you won the lottery? All right. Back then it would be, what would you do if you found a treasure in a field? And then people would speculate what they would do with their newfound wealth. Well, Jesus parables fit in that genre of stories. A man found a treasure in a field. How exactly he did this, the parable doesn't tell us. But it says he sells all that he has and he buys that field. And there's two keys to this first parable. In his joy, and he sold all that he had and bought that field. Anything that he legally could do to get this field, he would do. It was worth that much to him. He would give up everything to gain something of greater value. So he scrapes up all of his wealth and buys that one field for that treasure that he knows is buried there. The second parable is more about a merchant, somebody who already is a person of means. It says he was a man who acquired fine pearls. This is in the days before cultured pearls. Now most women own pearls. It's not that, quote, spectacular. But at this time, before the age of cultured pearls, pearls of any real value were a true treasure. There is also very dangerous to harvest them because this is the days before they had oxygen tanks. So the way they used to have to get these, no way I would do this job. You take a boat out where you believe the oysters were. You would hold on to a giant rock and jump off the side of the ship. Then the rock would pull you down to the bottom. Then you let go of the rock, searched around for as long as you could, and then had to resurface. And if you happened to jump in an area that was deeper than you originally thought, well, a lot of divers lost their lives. So it was a very dangerous process. Pearl was a figure of speech for something of great value. You might have read of some cities like Saigon used to be called the Pearl of the Orient. Something of great value. So this merchant sells everything that he has to buy this one pearl. Only Matthew records these two parables. He's talking about the value of the kingdom of God. Now, something that struck me on that first parable, a guy finds a treasure in a field, sells all that he has and buys the field. Why didn't he tell the owner of the field what was there? But you know what? Jesus isn't teaching an ethical lesson here. It has nothing to do with that. There's a lot of variety of reasons that I read about why it could be that he didn't tell anybody, which would have been legitimate and very legal at the time. But that's not what the story, that's not what the parable is about. He wasn't expecting to find a treasure. He came across it by accident. And the listeners of Jesus' listeners would have loved to have been in that situation. Kind of like, can you imagine if you won the lottery today, what would you do with it? Excuse me. Now, I've somehow lost my place. Yes. As I said, the second parable is about those that are in business. They're looking for pearls. That's their business. He searched those divers or talked to those divers to find out what they had found. And he found one or saw one that surpassed anything he had ever seen before. He was willing to take a financial risk to, quote, strike it rich. You know, how do I put this? If you've got money, it's easier to make money. So here's a man who's of some means. He's got the ability, though, to get something of much greater value than all the riches that he has. These are attention-grabbing stories for Jesus' disciples. And I said that they're only told to his disciples. One parable was a treasure that was unexpected. One was a treasure that was searched for. But they have something in common. Sell and buy. Sell all that you have and buy either the field or the pearl of great value. It took a major decision. Am I willing to risk everything for this treasure of greater value? Part of the point of these parables is an excitement of the discovery. Look what I've found. An awareness of its value. Look what I found. I can't believe something of such great value is there for the taking and the high cost that it takes to get it. Can you imagine selling everything that you have to buy one pearl? Or selling everything that you have to buy one field? It really better be worth it. Jesus is comparing these things to the kingdom of God. The great value there is in having the kingdom of God. That it's worth giving up everything for it. Paul says in Philippians, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Being part of the kingdom of God is of something of greater value than anything else that the world has to offer. There's no cost too great to gain the kingdom of God. The men in these two parables saw the treasure and they had to have it. They made the decision this is something they had to have. This is something they couldn't pass up. Now, something that should be noted about this, this is comparing to the kingdom of God. We do not search and find the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes and finds us. But what are we willing to give up in exchange for the kingdom? We'll give up. Mankind, by nature, will give up the treasures of heaven for the little trinkets on the earth. Jesus said it would be better to lose an eye or lose a hand than to give up the kingdom of God. That in comparison to having the kingdom of God, our love for family doesn't even compare to that. Now, is there anyone that you love more in this world than your own family? In comparison to the love we have for God, family doesn't compare at all. It doesn't even make it on the scale. So that's the little hook that Jesus is putting in here. Nothing compares to possessing the kingdom of God. That we would renounce everything for the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God costs us nothing. He gave us the title, the child of God. He paid the price on the cross for us. He gives us the kingdom. The parable talks about the two ways that people, quote, find the kingdom of God. One's in that surprising, unexpected way. One is surprised at the great value he's found that somebody else has overlooked. Some diver, some low-level merchant had this pearl of great value and didn't realize what he had. How many people in our world today don't know or recognize Jesus for who he really is? Jesus says in several places in the Gospels, let him who have eyes, let him see, and let he who has ears, let him hear. Because not everyone recognizes Jesus. He says, Jesus does in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Look what some of the ones in the Bible gave up for, so to speak, for the kingdom of God. Noah gave up reputation. The hundreds of years that he took to build the ark, he was a laughingstock. Why are you building this ark, you fool? Or Abraham at age 80. At age 80, you kind of get comfortable. The last thing you think about doing at age 80 is moving several thousand miles to a new land, to a people you don't even know. But yet, Abraham did that. Moses turned his back on all the riches of Egypt when he followed the Lord. It says in Hebrews 11 of Moses, by faith he left Egypt behind, and not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. Or Peter, James, and John, who left their father and their nets to follow Jesus. Matthew, who records these two parables, gave up a very lucrative job. I mean, you want to make good money at this time? If you didn't mind being hated by everybody, if you want to make good money at this time, tax collector was it. All right? As I've explained this before, the way a tax collector worked in that world, if it is my job to collect $5,000 in taxes, I come to poor Dan here sitting in the front, and Dan knows that I'm only supposed to be collecting $5,000 from him. So what do? I collect $7,500 from him. I give Rome $5,000 and I keep the other $2,500. How much does Dan like me after that? Not too much, but I'm doing all right, aren't I? Because I'm going to stiff all of the rest of you the same. Matthew gave up that in order to follow Christ. Again, from Philippians, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. We need to keep in mind that God owns everything. It's a radical idea that the only thing that we have to give back to God is our very lives. Here's the part that makes these parables more than just a bedtime story. Have we given up everything for him? Today, these parables still call us to a radical commitment. To put it quite simply, are you all in or not? Both men sold everything to buy that or to possess that had great value. What would you give up for the kingdom of God? Jesus says in Matthew 10, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.